WTAW News Time is 5 minutes after 8. It's 67 degrees. We'll take a look at your forecast coming up after the news. Brought to you by BCR Realtors, the best agents in the Brazos Valley. Find them online at bcrbcs.com. Good morning. I'm Chelsea Reber. College Station police responded to an armed robbery at 1:30 this morning in the 700 block of Church Avenue near St. Mary's Catholic Center. According to the report, the victim was approached by a black man who asked to use his phone. When the suspect asked how much the phone was, the victim reached to get his phone back, and the suspect pulled out a gun and then struck him in the face. The victim got his phone back after volunteering to go to an ATM and withdrawing $100, giving the money to the suspect. The suspect is described as a black man about 5'7", slender build with a short afro. Anyone with information is asked to contact CSPD. Brazos County Commissioners received an update this week about 5 projects at Easterwood Airport. Manager Josh Abramson announced American will be flying larger aircraft in and out of Easterwood.
Now, it's all relative. We're not talking 737s here, but we're talking about a CRJ 700. It's a 65-passenger dual-class aircraft. That means it has first class and then the basic economy in the back.
Improvements include McKenzie Terminal getting an expanded ticket holding area.
Once we complete construction, you'll be able to purchase a cup of coffee or a snack and not have to throw it away in the TSA line because it's on the correct side of the screening.
Easterwood is also getting a new general aviation terminal and a new website. The author of the transgender bathroom bill tells the crowd at Texas Faith and Family Day she's received a death threat. Senator Lois Kolkhorst of Brenham says it came from someone from the supposedly quote-unquote tolerant left.
I can't make a huge deal about this, but we've had DPS involved.
Kolkhorst says her staff collected the hate mail and threat as she was defending the bill on the floor of the state Senate.
There's always people that, you know, want to do wrong and do harm, and so what you do is you serve.
Texas Senator Ted Cruz's father, Pastor Rafael Cruz, followed Kolkhorst with words of support for her bill.
I encourage each and every one of you to call your state representative and demand that there is a vote on the floor of the House on SB 6.
In Austin, Chris Fox, TSN News.
Brazos County is getting a new historical marker on Monday. Leonard School was located on the corner of Leonard Road and Jones Road. Chair of the Brazos County Historical Commission, Henry Mayo, says it was one of many rural schools in the county and will serve as a reminder of all of them.
It gives a glimpse of forgotten history of the rural school system of Brazos County. We don't think now about, you know, the county having the school buses and stuff, but they did. They had a library. They had books. Wagon or bookmobile that went out to the county schools. It was a system just like the Bryan or the Consolidated School System became.
Mayo says Monday's ceremony begins at 10 a.m. You can find more information about Brazos County's historical markers online at brazoscountyhistory.org. And we are less than 1 month from the centennial of the start of World War I. Brazos County Judge Dwayne Peters read a proclamation at this week's meeting detailing more than 3,100 residents and students who were involved in what's known as the Great War.
Texas Agricultural Extension Service, headquartered in Brazos County, played a significant role in the war's effect around the state in food production, cotton marketing, food preservation, working with state and federal councils of defense, Red Cross, Liberty Bond drives, and war saving stamps.
John Blair chairs a committee that is organizing local events and displays commemorating the centennial, focusing on Brazos County residents and A&M students who were in the war.
If you have an ancestor, a father, grandfather, great-great-grandfather, or grandmother, for that matter, if you're willing to share that information, if it's just a photograph, if it's a family story, anything along those lines.
Blair says more information is available online at Brazos County World War, the number 1.com. WTAW News Time is 9 minutes after 8. It's 67 degrees. You can call or text us at 979-695-1620. This look at news is brought to you by BCR Realtors. More news at 8:30 or anytime at WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber, News Talk 1620, WTAW.
You can trust the best real estate firm. The Brazos Valley, BCR.
BCR Realtors assisted my wife and I in the sale of our home, and they were an expert in all phases of contract representation. They provided market insights, which allowed us to list the home and sell it in record time. And with Bryan College Station's continually changing market, BCR continues to keep all of our rental properties 100% rented and at the maximum rental rate. Thank you, BCR Realtors.
Blinn College alumni and friends and the Buccaneer Alumni Letterman Association invite you to the 2017 Blinn College Clay Shootout, Friday, April 7th at the Boswell Porter 4-H Shotgun Range in Snook. This year's shootout underwriters are Blue Bonnet Electric Cooperative and McCoy Workplace Solutions. Entry fee is $500 per team of four, and proceeds from the event will go to support Blinn College students. To learn more about the event or to register a team, go online at foundation.blinn.edu or call Kyle Merton at 979-830-4495.
810, good morning. Infomaniacs, our Brazos Valley weather forecast. It's brought to you this morning by Nationwide Insurance agent Mike Kilgore. Insurance for yourself, your family, your business. Nationwide is on your side. Call the Kilgore Insurance Group at 776-1900 or stop by their office on Harvey Road. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio, subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
Clouds today, we'll certainly see quite a few of them. There may be some breaks here and there. Temperatures are going to be warm, close to 80 degrees later this afternoon. We're partly to mostly cloudy through the overnight, 60 to 65. Clouds give way to occasional sunshine tomorrow, highs very close to 80. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy, lows around 60. Looking ahead to Sunday, we'll have partial sunshine. Sunday's even warmer, with highs somewhere between 80 and 85. I'm meteorologist Rob Carolin for News Talk, 1620 WTAW.
There you are. Man, it's going to be 80 degrees and just get warmer. And
yep.
It looks like, I don't know, let me see, we can look ahead here. We know that it's going to be, if the weather forecast is correct, okay?
That's always the deal. Caveat,
okay, yeah. If the weather forecast is correct, they're saying that we're going to have temperatures in the 80s probably through Thursday of next week. So there. Looks like it might be safe to wash your car, in fact, if you want to do that. Nonetheless, just letting you know.
Unless you live at my apartment complex, where then they'll do the yard and spray grass all over your brand new car.
Oh, yeah, see, that's it. So St. Patrick died in 461. Date of his death is unclear. March 8th or 9th. So the church compromised and just kind of came up with making it March the 17th.
Okay.
So that's the reason it's actually March the 17th.
Just added the two together.
That's it. He baptized 120,000 people, built more than 300 churches, or probably oversaw that. Didn't do it all himself. But anyhow.
And he wasn't Irish.
No, he wasn't, was he? Where was he from? Montana?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
But was kidnapped by like Irish pirates. Yeah. I learned all of this on my peace break earlier. Kat is quite the St. Patrick's Day expert.
Really?
Wow. Yes.
I bet she couldn't name the best beer though, could she?
Probably not.
All right, just saying. Now, did she mention that the ritual of serving corned beef and cabbage on St. Patty's Day was started by Irish Americans?
Ooh.
Irish U.S. Americans. In the mid-1800s, corned beef was used as a substitute meal in corned beef and cabbage. In fact, it was not supposed to be corned beef and cabbage. It was supposed to be bacon and cabbage.
Bacon.
Stop it. Oh, I can get on board.
Yeah. So
although
there.
I do enjoy me some corned beef and cabbage, like I said, my bit of info, I have eaten my corned beef already. I did not put any cabbage in it just because I didn't get any.
Like this morning you ate corned beef?
No. Earlier this week I
gotcha.
Had some. But I didn't even, actually when I bought it, I didn't even put the correlation together that it was the St. Patrick's thing to do.
Brad, your bit of info yesterday letting Catholics know that they are allowed to eat meat today. I asked a priest yesterday. I talked to Father Albert and he said yes, we are good to go.
Yeah, the diocese dispensation. Yeah,
and see what they should have done is they should have gotten like a smiley face sticker for Catholics to put on that says dispensated.
Yeah,
you know? And then you could wear that, because otherwise people go, wait a minute, I know you're Catholic and you're eating meat and it's Friday. You can't be doing that. But if they'd had the
first
little...
of all, people need to mind their own business if
But I'm thinking you have a little smiley because, I mean, you do it like when I gave blood or I tried to give blood or I voted.
I voted.
You get a little sticker.
Yeah.
So you could say I've been dispensated. I'm just saying.
If it were me, they would run out of the stickers, though.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You wouldn't have that. So there are more Irish people in U.S. America than there are in Ireland. Okay.
Really?
By a bunch, as a matter of fact. Yeah.
Well, who's over in Ireland?
Well, okay, there are 4.6 million people in Ireland, okay?
Oh, okay.
And then about 1.8 million in Northern Ireland, but in U.S. America, there's 33 million U.S. Americans of Irish ancestry.
Gotcha.
So that's what it is. No, it's not like Ireland is an empty country. No,
I see. Okay.
Which, that's kind of not fair because the people here are Americans. They're just of Irish descent. That's
right.
That's like taking a bunch of Americans and put them somewhere else and saying there's a whole bunch of Americans
that's
everywhere.
That's exactly right. That's just kind of Irish light or Irish over two or something like that. So California has 2.6 million Irish people. New York is second at 2.4 million, but the percentage number one, of course, is Massachusetts, 24% of the population.
Wow. There.
Now, some cities that have a large Irish population, Syracuse is in that list.
Hey,
did you know that?
Did not know that.
Yeah, of course, number one is Boston, as you
They do have a great pub called Fagan's Pub.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite watering holes.
Brad, you wouldn't know that. Yeah. The oldest St. Patrick's Day parade, there are nearly 100 in U.S. America, strangely enough, is in Savannah, Georgia.
Yeah, that is kind of strange.
Large Irish population there. Mm-hmm. There are four cities that have Shamrock in their name. There's Mount Gay Shamrock, West Virginia, and Shamrock, Texas. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the most populous would be Shamrock Lakes, Indiana, I think, or Shamrock, Oklahoma is also. There are nine cities that have Dublin in it. We know Dublin, Ohio best, probably.
Yep.
Personal finance by the numbers, 51% of U.S. Americans plan to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. 82% will be wearing green. I'm not. Brad, are you wearing green today?
I am. My undershirt is green.
Okay. Yeah. And, of course, Chelsea, I saw you. You're wearing green.
I am wearing green.
But I never wear green on St. Patrick's Day because of my Scottish grandmother. So, there. Arthur Guinness opened his brewery in Dublin in 1759. John Jameson opened his distillery in Dublin in 1780. So there you go from that.
Now hold on just one second. You said you don't wear green because of your Scottish grandmother.
Right.
I'm Scottish in descent as well on half of my side here. How come that applies for
Orangeman's Day?
Okay.
That's why you wear orange.
I understand.
The Irish angry. And, so, yeah.
I figured it was something.
Kevin
like
used to try to come in and pinch me, and I told him no, go away. Anyway.
Yeah, first of all, always, ew, get away.
Yeah. Then there becomes the story of the potatoes.
I was thinking, Mike more take me some of these potatoes home with him.
Now, you know that the tater did not originate in Ireland. Actually, it was brought over from U.S. America by Sir Walter Raleigh back in the 17th century. He had a big old estate over in County Cork. He started growing it over there. And that was fine till 1846 when there was a blight on the taters, a fungus that left them in really, really bad shape. And so what happened was, in essence, the landlords, most of them British, evicted their tenants. I mean, and we're talking thousands and thousands of people who were crowded into workhouses, and then they went into, sadly, what are called coffin ships because a third of the people died coming over here. And that's how we got so many Irish people here in U.S. America.
The Great Potato Famine.
That's it. So there's a little bit of history from all that. All right. But anyhow, as we mentioned the other day, I think this is the fourth largest drinking day.
Fourth. Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, Christmas is number one. New Year's is number one. Christmas is number two. Christmas. Imagine.
Relatives.
Christmas. The largest.
It's relatives.
Yeah,
it's relatives. That's what it is.
I think the 4th of July and then St. Patrick's Day behind that.
Yep. Okay.
So there. Now, all that to tell you this, that when you go to a bar in Utah and they're going to mix you a drink, the server has to dart behind a wall to pour it. Utah law demands that they shield diners from this lurid sight. Yeah, it's called a Zion curtain.
Wow.
Yeah. How you like that?
But they can still drink it?
Yeah, restaurants serving alcohol in the Beehive State, that's Utah, must follow stringent rules, including that many deploy a partition to hide the act of drink making.
I kind of prefer seeing my drink
being made. Well, I understand. Yeah, but I mean, it's a different world, okay? Now Utah is on track to actually lift that veil. The partition rule, mandated in 2009 for new restaurants, was aimed at preventing underage diners from becoming inspired to drink. Last week, the Utah legislature passed a bill that offers another option that locals call the Zion Moat. The governor signs the bill into law. Is expected the restaurants next year will be able to replace their curtains with this just lowered area where the people, the young people, will not be able to see them actually pour the drink because, you know, that'll cause them to want to drink if they see the drink. So I'm just saying it's different, okay? I remember going to a Brigham Young football game where you could get water and fruit juice at the concession stand.
Yep.
Wow.
Didn't even sell iced tea. So.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go. So Matthew Perry, you know him, right? Right? Right?
Yep, yep, mm-hmm. yep.
Matthew Perry was a nasty little kid before morphing into the funny star that he is today. He told Jimmy Kimmel on his late night show that he used to beat up Justin Trudeau.
Really?
Yeah. With the help of a buddy back in fifth grade. He admits that he was terrible and was just a stupid kid. So there.
How funny.
It is.
Justin Trudeau as in?
Yeah, as in the Prime Minister of Canada. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that Matthew Perry was Canadian.
I didn't either. So there you go. Right. That's the story he's telling anyway. A German man had a close encounter with a flying coconut. as you would.
Yeah.
The unidentified guy was walking a dog when a coconut flew past him from out of nowhere. Luckily, it missed him and slammed into a nearby streetlight. Police responding to the incident found a 23-year-old man nearby wielding a homemade cannon.
Ah.
Sure.
Coconut cannon.
You bet. The suspect explained that he had built the coconut cannon as an art project. Cops confiscated the device. It's unclear if the man will face any charges. Once again, we used to have a potato catapult.
Allegedly.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it really wasn't true. Okay, Chelsea.
Yes.
Once again, anecdotal testimony here from one person. Of the females who work out at the place that you do,
okay.
Percentage-wise, how many are wearing makeup?
Oh, well, it really depends on the time of day.
I guess that's probably right.
Because I go in the evenings, and so I still have my makeup on from the day, and others do too.
But if it's first thing in the morning,
then
which
I don't go because I'm here.
Yep.
But let's just, you know, let's just say 50-50.
Okay, well, didn't the fitness dome open 24/7? You could do that. you could show up there if you wanted to.
Oh, well, my gym's not open that 24/7.
The next big thing in the makeup aisle is active beauty, makeup that you can work out in. Hollywood Reporter says that as more gyms become social environments, having the right trendy clothes and sweat-resistant makeup is becoming more of a priority.
Oh.
Trends researchers say there's been a surge in the popularity of athleisure makeup. We're using that word again there. Yeah, with brands like Tarte, Clinique, and Ico already cashing in. Startups include Sweat Cosmetics and Uni Beauty, which is a yoga-oriented product.
Ah, okay.
So they've gained some momentum in the past 2 years. So
interesting.
Here's an interesting question. And, Chelsea, you know, you're in a unique position to answer this here. When you're working out, are you really concerned with how you look? Because in my experience, that from what I've seen and heard and read and everything, women don't want to be talked to when they're working out.
Well, I think where this can apply is fitness instructors.
Okay.
And like dance teachers or group fitness studios where you're on a stage.
Yeah, you
want to. Now, for women who are working out, I mean, yes, there are some that don't want to be, you know, they're there to get their work done, but there's I would guess a pretty high percentage of women who are also there to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think of, you know, women in bigger cities who it is a very, you know, social part of their day.
Oh,
like
sure.
Going to the cycle class, going to yoga, and you still want to look good. You still want to have your, you know, $100 yoga pants on. So might as well have the face to go with it.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of cool if you can make sweatproof or, you know, makeup that guarantees, you know, you're not going to necessarily break out or have bad skin reaction because you're sweating in it. Because, you know, I grew up with take your your makeup off. You don't want to sweat in your makeup. Right. Make sure you're washing your face before and after. So,
well, it would seem like, yeah, now they've been able to come up with different, they've gone to the research that's necessary to know that, you know, you may have to be in that situation where you're going to be outside, or you're going to be sweating, and you don't want to sweat your makeup off.
Yeah, you also have a ton of workout videos on whether it's Instagram or YouTube, and people putting their own workouts up. And so if you can look good while you're working out, then that's probably selling point.
I understand. 824.
Reliable and dependable equipment is essential to landowners. When working the land, knowing you have a 5-year powertrain warranty standing behind you gives you your peace of mind. The 45-horsepower tractor from John Deere at Sioux Falls Prater Equipment will clear fields, move bales, grade roads, and stand the test of time with a 5-year powertrain warranty. Now, it's more affordable than ever with payments as low as $159 a month. Stop by the Sioux Falls Prater nearest you or cptractor.com for more information. Some residency restriction may apply and subject to approved credit.
Lunch at Christopher's World Grill. Great idea and a delicious one. At Christopher's World Grill, you can enjoy a relaxing, quiet, and delicious lunch in the most pleasing atmosphere. Select from Christopher's favorites, the Hyde Park Chicken Salad, Zihuatanejo Snapper, or the Grilled Shrimp BLT. Grab a friend or a business associate and meet at Christopher's for lunch. Follow Christopher's on Facebook and sign up for Christopher's newsletter. Reservations not necessary, but recommended. Christopher's World Grill, 776-2181. Voted best business lunch in the Brazos Valley.
25 into Maniacs News Talk 1620 WTAW. Okay, so, you know, Katy Perry was going to buy some convent from a group of nuns. You hear about that?
Really?
Yep. But now they say they don't want to sell it to her because she's into witchcraft. Did we know that?
No.
Hollywood Reporter says that Katy has been trying to pick up this former convent in California and turn it into her new home, the Archdiocese in Los Angeles. It's run by Jose Gomez. He's the archbishop there. Mm-hmm. Said it's okay. They'd accept her offer of $14.5 million, but the nuns who still live there say that Katy is participating in the Salem Witch Walk in 2014, you know, and so, she's a witch, and the nuns refused to let her in the building.
Oh, wow. The nuns said, no, ma'am.
Well, because, you know, she used to be like a Christian singer before she went pop, and she just completely turned a 180 there. Yeah.
Where's TMZ on this? Is that why TMZ was created, so we could learn the inside story on that kind of thing? All right, I'm just saying. So we'll watch for that. It's 826.
I'm Jennifer Kashinko with Your Money Now. Executives at Viacom and its Paramount Pictures studio are working overtime to keep their $1 billion co-financing deal with two Chinese firms on course. Today's Wall Street Journal says Viacom's new CEO is in China meeting with the companies, which agreed 2 months ago to cover at least 25% of every movie produced by the studio over 3 years. Viacom last month ousted the CEO, who made the deal. British authorities will thoroughly review 21st Century Fox's $14.3 billion bid to buy the 61% of British pay TV giant Sky it doesn't already own. Two UK agencies, a media watchdog and a competition authority, each have until May 16th to publish reports about how the proposed deal would affect the country's broadcasting standards and the diversity of viewpoints across media. McDonald's says it had nothing to do with a tweet sent to Donald Trump calling him a disgusting excuse of a president. The chain says while the post yesterday was on its Twitter account, the account was hacked. That's Your Money Now.
Remember when a small business needed a landline? Today, landlines are a thing of the past with Grasshopper, the entrepreneur's phone system. On the road, at the beach, or at home, Grasshopper helps you grow your business. Get all the features of a business phone system and the freedom of a cell phone with our iPhone and Android apps. Features include multiple extensions for your team, calls forwarded to your mobile phones, voicemails transcribed and emailed, and so much more. See how it works at grasshopper.com, the entrepreneur's phone system.
How's that kitchen remodel coming along?
I haven't found a reliable contractor and have no idea where to start.
What about Home Advisor?
Home what?
Home Advisor. They match you to pre-screened and top-rated pros for any kind of home project. You can even check pricing and book appointments online.
What's the catch?
No catch. Home Advisor is completely free to use.
Really? I'll check it out.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app.
Home Advisor.
Robotic microsurgery. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is Science Update.
cochlear implants allow deaf people to hear by electrically stimulating nerves of the inner ear. But the surgery required involves tissues less than a millimeter wide.
This electrode, when it's inserted into the very fragile, very small structures of the inner ear, potentially create a bit of damage and trauma. The consistency of hearing preservation could be improved.
That's University of Bern researcher Stefan Weber. He and his team report in the journal Science Robotics that they've pioneered robotic microsurgery for cochlear implantation. Weber says the minimally invasive procedure is more precise than the human version and likens it to an airplane's autopilot, with surgeons able to step in if needed. He says the first robotic surgeries have now successfully restored hearing to several patients. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.
This week, a new federal law went into effect that strengthens your rights to leave honest business reviews on websites like Yelp, TripAdvisor, and Google. But there are limits. Kim Commando with your Friday Digital Consumer Tech Update. You've probably heard horror stories of people being sued after posting negative online reviews. The Consumer Review Fairness Act now allows customers to post critical but honest reviews without the fear of a lawsuit. Companies can get into trouble with contract clauses prohibiting reviews, and they can no longer sue anyone for simply posting a negative review. But there's no legal protection for posting false and libelous claims, confidential information, such as medical or personal file materials, criticisms unrelated to the company's products or services, or any other misleading information. So the news for all businesses is this. Let the people speak freely, but honestly, about your services, products, and business. Breaking Tech News is updated 24/7 at news.commando.com. That's KOMANDO.
Hey, honey, you want to go out for dinner?
I can't. I'm stuck on hold with the stupid cable company trying to get another rate reduction.
Didn't you already do that?
I do it every 6 months. They just keep raising our rates. I'm done. It's time to cut the cable. With CableGone.com.
Are you sick and tired of being gouged by your cable company? Sitting on hold, endlessly waiting for customer service?
Your call is important to us.
Paying exorbitant bills, but getting fewer and fewer channels?
Please hold for the next available representative.
National radio host and USA Today columnist Kim Commando here. Millions of Americans have found a better way to get their favorite channels for free. The solution? CableGone.com. Here's what the cable companies don't want you to know. Most top shows and major sports are available now without expensive cable or satellite.
Hey, honey, you want to go out for dinner?
Sure, let's go out for steak with all the money we saved with CableGone.com.
Learn more now at CableGone.com.
The Kim Commando Show is brought to you by Kubota. Value, efficiency, and performance. Find a Kubota dealer near you at TexasKubotaDealers.com.
WTAW News Time is 8:32. It's 67 degrees. We'll take a look at your forecast coming up after the news, brought to you by Awards & More. Everyone needs their name on something. Awards & More can put it there. Good morning. I'm Chelsea Reber. College Station police are looking for a black man for an armed robbery early this morning in the Northgate District. The suspect is accused of pointing a gun at the victim, who volunteered to withdraw money from an ATM and give it to the suspect. A description is online at WTAW.com. Five projects are underway at Easterwood Airport. Manager Josh Abramson announced at this week's Brazos County Commission meeting that American Airlines is bringing in larger jets holding 65 passengers with two classes.
That really speaks well for our market. That means that they're happy with our market, that we produce enough revenue and enough passenger flow to facilitate a larger aircraft.
Abramson says demolition has also made room for Easterwood's new general aviation terminal. The author of the transgender bathroom bill gets a DPS security detail. That's after Senator Lois Kolkhorst of Brenham received a death threat. Kolkhorst made the revelation as she addressed a couple hundred celebrating Texas Faith and Family Day at the Capitol.
From what is supposedly called a tolerant left, an anti-bullying left, I have received emails that I would not let my children read. My staff even withheld yesterday a threat on my life.
Kolkhorst says the threat led to a DPS security detail for a couple of days. Brazos County is getting a new historical marker on Monday. Leonard School was located on the corner of Leonard Road and Jones Road. Chair of the Brazos County Historical Commission, Henry Mayo, says it was one of many rural schools in the county and will serve as a reminder of all of them. Mayo says Monday's ceremony begins at 10 a.m. April 6th marks 100 years since the United States entered the Great War, the nickname for World War I. In Brazos County, a committee chaired by John Blair is working on a series of events with other local organizations.
We have members from American Legion, the Vet Memorial Park, Museum of the American GI, Wreaths Across America, and also the University Archivist at Texas A&M.
More information about the centennial is online at Brazos County World War, the number one.com. WTAW News Time is 8:34 at 67 degrees. This Look at News is brought to you by Awards and More. More news anytime at WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber, News Talk 1620 WTAW.
Awards and More should be your first stop for plaques, trophies, and custom awards. Whether you're promoting your business or getting a trophy for your little leaguer, Awards and More will custom design just the right product for you. Awards and More has t-shirts, printed promotional products, custom engraving, and embroidery. Call 696-3886 or go to awardsandmoreinc.com. Everyone needs their name on something, and Awards and More will put it there. Awards and More, 3518 South Texas Avenue in Bryan.
Does your business want to reach seniors in the Brazos Valley? Then the upcoming issue of Brazos Wellness Magazine is the place to advertise. Brazos Wellness is a 48-page local publication filled with local articles that active seniors love to read. Plus, it's direct mailed, distributed at racks all over town, and will be available at the upcoming Senior Expo. To place an ad for your business in the Brazos Wellness Magazine for senior living, call Sam Jones with Bryan Broadcasting or email Sam at Bryan Broadcasting.
8:35, let's do some weather. It's brought to you this morning by Action Sports, home of the Can-Am Spyder and Kawasaki Mule Pro FXT. Stop by and see yourself at Action Sports, 202 Holloman Drive East. Click on actionsportstx.com.
Clouds today, we'll certainly see quite a few of them. There may be some breaks here and there. Temperatures are going to be warm, close to 80 degrees later this afternoon. We're partly to mostly cloudy through the overnight, 60 to 65. Clouds give way to occasional sunshine tomorrow, highs very close to 80. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy, lows around 60. Looking ahead to Sunday, we'll have partial sunshine. Sunday's even warmer, with highs somewhere between 80 and 85. I'm meteorologist Rob Carolin for News Talk, 1620 WTAW.
836, let's head over to Austin. State Representative Kyle Cassell joins us on this Friday. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing? 80 degrees? He didn't stutter, did he?
No, he didn't. You know, I enjoyed the early part of this week, but we're going to, you know, Monday is the first day of spring, and we're going to have the weather to match it, I suppose.
Does that mean I can wear white shoes?
Yeah. Hey, tell me a little bit about ride share. We talked to the senator about that earlier this week, about Uber and Lyft. And, of course, the cities of Austin decided that they didn't want that. And I know that that's inconvenient for a lot of people, not the least of whom the folks there for South by Southwest this week or in Austin for any reason.
I think you hit the nail on the head. They came into Austin last week, and I can't wait to get out because it is overpopulated. And the ride share program, you know, you move to two different ones with Uber and Lyft not being here, Fasten and Fair, and you have Rideshare Austin. I think Fasten crashed Sunday or Saturday last weekend, one of the busiest weekends in South by. You had people hunting for rides and nowhere to go with the little rainstorms, and it was quite the mess.
You know, I just thought James Benham's in the studio. We're going to talk to him in a little while, and he said their local rideshare crashed, in fact. It was just, but again, that was the disproportionately large amount of people. But what it does is it also brings up the question. There's discussion of a statewide ban on texting. We use the situation where 2 years ago when the city of Denton outlawed fracking, the legislature basically overturned that. So we're talking about the state kind of getting into county and city business. And is this a trend, and where are we going to go with that?
You know,
in your opinion?
I hope not. You know, I think I'm glad you hit on those 2 points with Uber and texting and driving. What we need is consistency. So, you know, we travel a lot through the state, so you don't need to have different rules. So what I think the legislature's intention, at least the way I interpret it, is to get rid of the patchwork and have a consistent law, you know, and hopefully the cities will adopt those to where they have a texting ban. You know, I was looking at the list of cities on the texting, and obviously College Station has a hands-free zone, but Bryan's not on that list. So that's kind of confusing because that imaginary line of University Drive, what do? You don't, when you're heading north on Texas Avenue and you cross University, you just pick up the phone and start texting again?
Right, yeah. I understand certainly where that is, but I don't like the idea of cities kind of being usurped by the state thinking that they necessarily know better.
I would agree. Local control, always best. But the patchwork system is kind of conflicting to people. So there's a difficult, fine line to walk there, obviously.
Kyle Cassell joining us from Austin. One of the other things where the city and the state are kind of rubbing up against each other is annexation guidelines. You know, the cities of Bryan and College Station had a look at their extraterritorial jurisdiction agreement for the first time in about 40 years. We see both cities looking to kind of stretch out a little bit. Now, with that, clearly they must do some things to provide for those people who live out there. Do you see anything in Austin happening as far as annexation that would impact our cities?
You know, we ran a bill last year. I think Representative Huberty had it, and I supported it. You know, and the cities have to have the ability to annex, but there needs to be a better rapport. You know, when you annex, the people that will be annexed need a voice. You know, we need some hearings, and they need a clear agreement of services that they can expect once they're annexed. And as long as they communicate well, I think we go back to College Station and the annexation of Welburn. You know, not a lot of good communication there, and, you know, you had the Save Welburn t-shirts. I guess that was hot when I ran back in 2012, and of course I think we've solved some of those issues, but you just need to have a good rapport, and I think the city, College Station in particular, does a better job now. They realize how fast we're growing. I think these neighborhoods, as they pop up, realize that, and we just need to maintain that constant communication. And you have a county government and a city government with the annexation talks between Bryan and College Station, and that went so well. We need to be working together because we are a fast-growing community, and I like to see those guys in control of the local laws and working together. It makes my job a lot easier because I'm with you. We don't need to interfere from the pink building in Austin.
Yeah, a couple of things in the spotlight, mostly in the Senate this week, the bathroom bill that's sponsored by Senator Kolkhorst from Brenham. Now, in the course of Canada Daily Sun, Byron Cook, who's the chairman of the House State Affairs Committee, says he doesn't think the House needs to bring that up. What are your thoughts?
You know, we can talk about SB6 and sanctuary cities. You know, I'm going to be supportive of safe cities, period, across the board. We need to focus on the safety not only of the women and children just in their neighborhoods or the bathroom or any facility. And I hope that our law enforcement have the ability and the tools to keep us safe. But if we need to take a vote on it, we're going to have to do that and stand strong.
Finally, most important thing for you in the next week, either anything in your committee or out on the floor?
I think it's going to be on the floor. We are exercising some new members are exercising their power and trying to understand how the rules and when we suspend the rules and what we had a little interesting altercation this week and on suspending a 5-day rule, trying to introduce an HJR that was a companion to a bill that has been posted for 2 weeks. I mean, little rules like that. So people are trying to stretch their muscles and learn the system. And so as we get deeper into the session, those will make for fun arguments and a good learning experience for not only freshmen but senior members as well.
State Representative Kyle Cassell joins us each week. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time, and we'll talk to you next week.
Look forward to it, Scott. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks. All right, let's turn our attention to City College Station. Jay Sokol here from the city. How are you today?
Doing well, thank you.
All right, you brought a guest with you.
I did. He's place six on the city council, but place one in your hearts. He's Councilman James Benham.
There he is. Welcome back.
Howdy.
Hadn't been doing much since we saw you last. Let's talk first of all about, I guess, almost a dozen, can we call them shovel-ready plats that you're going to have out there for businesses who want to come to College Station?
Well, because of who originated the phrase shovel-ready, I'd prefer we not use that
okay,
phrase.
Okay, all right.
So let's say these are development-ready.
Okay.
You know, I don't think people really have an appreciation or understand how much it costs, people to get a site to where they're actually ready to start construction, because you have the a rezoning is actually really expensive to go through. In particular, a highly contested rezoning is very expensive to go through, and you also have an enormous amount of risk, right? So you have your fees, your engineering costs, your legal fees. You're talking about the high tens of thousands of dollars, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, to get a property to be rezoned because of all the work that has to be done on legal fees, engineering, and et cetera. And so what we've tried to do here is say, look, these are the logical places where it makes a lot of sense to have general commercial. We don't have a lot of it in town. We really don't have a lot of general commercial available, you know, empty, open land that has, you know, roads and stuff ready and available. And so we looked at the whole city and said, okay, and I think we grouped it into three groups. Here's the ones that are slam dunks, easy to rezone. We can shortcut several months of work by a business that wants to locate here and save them an enormous amount of dollars, because we don't like to do tax breaks, you know, for retail or you know, several types of categories. We generally do tax breaks for net exporters, but not for retail or other presence. But retail is really important to city sales tax revenue. And so that's what we did. We looked at the city and we said, these make a lot of sense. Let's do a proactive rezoning. Let's knock these out in three different tiers, and let's make them development ready so that someone can come in and they don't have to spend 7 months rezoning. The other problem is the interest carry cost of the land that they carry, or their option contracts, which, you know, they'll lose their option money, and the risk. And of course, what's going on and what you're about to see is a real tightening up across the state. You know, as the sales tax revenues, or sorry, as the oil and gas revenues continue to pinch the state budgets, mm-hmm. guess what's going to get hit in College Station? Mm-hmm. There's this school down the way.
We know that. I think we found that out this week.
Yeah, and so because of that, that's going to impact our local economy. Well, these retailers, they have options. And we've seen that with, and I hate to talk about this, but the Papados, mm-hmm. right?
The one that
they still own the land on, that they say they still plan on putting in. But the reality is, they've picked other cities to move on first.
Makes sense. All right. Well, let's move on this now, because this brings my next question up. We found out this week that Todd McDaniel will be at the RVP Research Valley Partnership no later than December the 31st of this year, maybe sooner than that. Do you see that as a change in the relationship between the city of College Station and RVP going down the road?
Or between me and RVP? I mean,
City of College Station.
Yeah, so I can't speak for the whole city.
No, but you're a member of council.
As one member of council, I can say that I'm looking forward to turning a new page with the RVP. And I'm looking forward to seeing us bring some leadership in that will encourage a much closer relationship with Texas A&M and bringing A&M officially back into the fold again, because, as you know, A&M pulled out of any involvement with the RVP. And so I'm very hopeful that our prime economic development generator, who's doing so much for our area, will be involved again, that we can have one central group to meet with. Right now we've got a couple of different groups going, and that gets pretty confusing. And so I think that this will be a welcome change.
The director of the budget, Mick Mulvaney, yesterday in Washington, D.C., said among the new things that will be rolled out in the Trump budget is probably doing away with community block grants. Just kind of what's your thought there? How is that going to impact this city?
Well, community block development grants are money. I've never liked relying on federal dollars, because this is the kind of stuff that happens. And I actually asked, you know, Kelly Templin when he first came in, I said, you know, how hard would it be for us to live without this? Because I just don't trust them to, you know, send money back. Texas is a net exporter of tax dollars to the federal government. California is a net consumer of federal tax dollars paid, you know. And so I just think that they're going to keep, that we can't count on these kind of things. What you're going to see is some sidewalk projects we can't do. You're going to see some potential rehab projects that we won't be able to do, right? Because that's the kind of projects that CDBG funds go to. And so, you know, that's also those funds can be used to buy land that can be used for affordable senior housing. So the potential impact is there. I can't remember how much it was.
Sure.
Jay, if you know the number, you're welcome to chime in. But I want to say it was $1 million a year, but okay. I don't
not
remember.
Big dollars. All right, well, then that brings us really to the next thing that we were talking to State Representative Cassell. There's going to be some kind of a property tax cap. What do you see that doing to the city?
You know, in running a software business for 16 years, I found the adage that projects expand the budget they're allowed, and governments left unchecked will expand to whatever limits that people allow them to expand to. So I know that this will go against what others believe, but I don't have a problem with setting some reasonable expectations on how much your taxes can go up every year. Now, this is just in general principle, but if you take that policy and say, look, there's only so much it can grow, like my wife, Lori, says she's from Michigan, and Michigan has property tax caps. And so every year, you know, her family, who lives on a pretty fixed income, and they're good people, okay? They're on a farm. They grow crops. I mean, these are good people, but they're capped as to how much it can go up every year. It's just a fixed percentage. And you don't have to be in farming for it to be capped. And it protects them. It allows them to have some predictability in their property tax. And so many complaints that we get from people that don't have excess money in our community, and they have legitimate complaints. Look, my neighbor's houses are selling like hotcakes. I don't want to move. My taxes are so high that I can't afford to live in my home of my childhood. And Scott, that's just wrong.
You're right.
That's just wrong on so many levels. Yep. Like on every, you know, I'm a free market capitalist, but we're talking about taxation policy here, not free market capitalism. You know, because in free market capitalism, the market determines what things buy and sell for, but not what they're taxed for. That's the government's job. And so in principle, I actually support limiting government's ability to constantly increase revenue, because when left unchecked, you end up with, you know, I was just in London 3 or 4 weeks ago, and, you know, they pay 50%+ of their income. You know, it is insane how much their cost of living is. I was just in California last week. It is insane how much it costs to live there, and it is straight up to the government, their policies, their regulations, and their taxes.
That's it.
So in principle, I agree with it. Mm-hmm. But there will always be the law of unintended consequences.
Okay, I want to give you a minute and a half, because I know you've got something that you feel like is an important thing to you, and that's kind of getting the city more connected.
Yeah, Smart City Initiative. And I just want people to understand that a smart city is not just about making your infrastructure or transportation smart. A smart city is a city that utilizes policies and technologies to dramatically improve the welfare of its citizens. Scott, look, I've got 18 months left on my last term in council. Now, I know to many people who are listening who may be on the left side of the political spectrum, that's going to be a welcome announcement. But to all to everybody out there who loves technology, whether you're left or right, you have to understand that technology will solve problems 10x faster than government ever can. Just look, we are living in the most abundant time in human history. Longer lifespans, lowest infant mortality rate, and it is all because of technology. And when you look at the problems of our city, transportation, energy, food, just the basic problems we got to deal with, security, they can all be solved, the vast majority of them. I can't say all. I don't want to be hyperbole here. But they can be solved with technological solutions. So I'm floating a document around to the city of College Station, and I'm circulating some ideas around having a basic framework for a umbrella of a smart city plan for the city of College Station. Now, we started this already. We have residential and commercial ultra high speed broadband, gig to home. I have a gig at my house that I got from Suddenlink. You also have another company called Wirestar that's already leased dark fiber from the city of College Station. We have materially significantly better bandwidth than the city of College Station than anybody around us. Secondly, we've got an open data portal so anybody can get access to all of our data. We've opened up our GIS database so people can get access to our GIS data. We have safe online transaction zones. Really importantly, we've got an intelligent traffic information system. We've got wastewater recapture, but we can do a lot more. We've got to have smart meters for electric utility. We have to. It's a must. We must be able to manage the energy utilization on our grid because we have a lot of leakage, and we can help improve that. We've got to have smarter transport so that all these self-driving cars can communicate with our lights and our streets, data-driven urban planning, better facility management, parking efficiency. You're starting to see that at Texas A&M with sensors of parking lights. All of these things with grid and energy, environmental sensors, and smart public safety all come back to Smart City. You're going to hear more about this from me in the future.
I'm sorry you never have any ideas when you come here.
I've got 18 months left. I've got one big project to knock out. Our food truck park is going to be opening soon, too. Those of you who like food, I hope you go to Northgate and come enjoy that food truck park.
He's not an investor. Thanks for the time.
I'm not.
I know. Thanks for the time this morning. That's James Benner from the City of College Station. Giggle. What else you got? All right.
Just a brief note that the Starlight Music Series calendar is up. All the performers are listed at cstx.gov/starlight. There's even a Voter's Choice winner's opportunity for May 6th. Make sure you pay attention to that. Again, cstx.gov/starlight.
Right. Thanks a bunch. That's our visit with the folks from the City of College Station. It's brought to you by Dayhill. Dayhill, a Xerox company. Dayhill, a leader in business solutions for over 20 years, specializing in local service, local sales, local knowledge. Dayhill, 774-2200.
No matter how long a life they've led, I'm always saddened when I read of the passing of the men or the women who I like to call my vets. any of the more than 135 I had the honor to interview for Bravo Brazos Valley or KAMU's Veterans of the Valley. And this week I read that George Cox from Caldwell went home after 95 years. That included World War II service in France and Belgium around the time of D-Day. When I talked to him in his home in 2005, he had just received an invitation to attend the commemoration of the 61st anniversary of D-Day in Normandy. He was mighty excited about that upcoming trip. He had been the year before for the 60th anniversary, and in telling me about that visit, he told me about his first trip there in the infantry, in uniform, part of the push to end the war. Here's just some of my visit 2005 with George Cox.
Met a little Frenchman there last year in the town of Vierville. And he was 7 years old when we came to the town. And he told us where he, how scared he was and where he hid under a piece of tin in the chicken house. And in there, and we asked him some questions about the thing in the war there and the things that we remembered of the town, and it looked just like it did when I came there the first time. Mm-hmm. I showed the boys, showed the family where the first German shot at me, shot from behind a wood pile. And I shot in the wood pile and he stopped, and then we went down the road and I showed him where it was a fella shooting out of a church steeple. And I was gonna shoot up there with the big gun and knock him out of there, but somebody got him, we thought. He quit shooting at us. And we asked the little Frenchman later about it, and he told us he got scared and he hid there for 2 days, and then he come out and surrendered. And we asked him about the rooster on the top of the building, the wind vane on top of it, and he laughed. He said it never has blown since we was there. Somebody shot it and bent it, and still pointing the same direction it was when we was there. And I went around behind the church and showed him in there where we engaged the enemy and was fighting, and showed him where my tank was when I got hit. Told him about how bad it was that I got hit. I got hit in the head. And I was blind 4 days and nights. Also killed my gunner in there. I went around and showed him where I jumped out of the tank. I come around there blind and laid in a sewer drain ditch. Finally, the medics come to get me, and they had a man on the litter, so they said that they'd come back and get me. So I told them, no, I could walk, let me hold their belt. So they let me hold their belt, and they walked me and took me back to an aid station. And they gave me morphine and wrapped my head up. My eyes was burning. It had burnt my eyelashes and eyebrows off. And then they took me on back to the beach and put in a hospital tent down there, which when I came in on the beach, this hospital tent was there. And I seen the doctors and nurses working in it, so I knew it was there, even though I was blind, and they told me it was in a tent down there. And airplanes come flying over, and a German plane, and all of our anti-aircraft went shooting up. It just felt like the earth raised up. But when all that stuff goes up, some of it has to come down and don't stay up there. And them slugs was falling down through the tent.
Your rest is deserved, George Cox. We salute you for your service. I'm Tom Turbeville. That's a Bravo Brazos Valley. It's brought to you by Coldwell Banker, Agtown Realtors, voted the best in the Brazos Valley.
Well, as somebody who's tried to cut the cord when it comes to cable in the past, I can personally recommend that it is not a good idea, mainly because of convenience. But you know who really has great convenience when it comes to watching your favorite shows? Suddenlink. I find it incredibly convenient because even if it's something that I want to watch, like on Netflix, you can tune into your Netflix right there on your Suddenlink DVR box. It makes it really simple. If you don't have Suddenlink, guess what? Now's the time to get it, because for a limited time, when you sign up for Suddenlink's Triple Play, you're going to get a $100 reward card. You're also going to get 50 meg internet, TV with up to 200 channels, and phone for just $77.99 a month. It includes a 30-day money-back guarantee, and you're going to lock into the price for 2 years. Plus, don't forget that $100 reward card. But you got to hurry, because this deal ends soon. Offers only for new residential customers. Restrictions apply. See Suddenlink.com for details. Call them at 877-694-9474 or go stop by our local office. They love to see you in there at Suddenlink. It's at 4114 East 29th Street in Bryan. Suddenlink, more power to you.
Student loan debt has now surpassed credit card debt. In fact, the average student loan debt is about $48,000. If you have student loan debt, whether from the government or a private lender, you must check out SoFi. Just go to trysofi.com to see how easily you can consolidate all your loans into one simple payment that will save you thousands and pay off your debt faster. Can you believe that most people with student loan debt have never considered refinancing their student loans? Go to trysofi.com. That's trysofi.com from your phone, your tablet, or computer, and in less than 2 minutes, you'll know how much you can save. SoFi has a 5-star rating with Student Loan Hero, so you know you can trust them. Go to trysofi.com. That's trysofi.com. And once you qualify, you'll get instant access to career coaching, network events, and great customer service. It takes less than a couple of minutes. It won't impact your credit score, and there's absolutely no obligation. Go to trysofi.com. That's trysofi.com. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS number 112166.
About a minute till News Talk 1620 WTAW. You have to wait. I got to get the commercials done. That's how we get paid here. Golly. Yeah. All right. Lots of stuff to talk about today. So a lawyer wants in New York wants chimpanzees to be legally considered human.
Okay.
Just wanted to let you know.
Thanks.
Name is Stephen Wise. He pled a case yesterday to a state appeals court in Manhattan. He argued that two chimps, be Kiko and Tommy, should be given their freedom. Okay? He represents the non-human rights project. Not the human rights project.
So the freedom. So he wants them to be able to, like, live in a house and pay taxes and roam around.
Now, you see, and you're exactly right. There. Are we going to pay taxes? Are the monkeys going to pay taxes?